Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Adam Sterling with you once again on CFAX 1070. This is Tuesday, July 5th of the year 2022. Lots to talk about on the show today, as always, including the latest on a story that broke during the third hour of the show 1 week ago. The horrific shooting incident that took place at the Bank of Montreal branch in the 3600 block of Shelbourne in Saanich. We're learning more about the shooters that were present at that particular incident as well. Today, we're expecting to learn more information about the six police officers who were gunned down in that incident, including three of whom were injured so severely, our understanding is, that they were still in hospital as of the weekend. Victoria Police Chief Del Manick saying that he had visited two of them with our own Al Farabi yesterday. Unclear at this time the status of a third individual and whether or not that is indicative that individuals in a state where they cannot actually receive visitors at this time. That's not what the chief said. We're trying to get a sense of exactly what did and what did not happen. We're also learning more about the Ochterlony brothers, including one of them apparently applying for the Canadian Army and being rejected over an aptitude test. CTV reported on it last night.
We are learning more tonight about the brothers shot dead in a gunfight with police in Saanich last Tuesday. One of their Instagram accounts is filled with what is being described as red flags. And as Anna McMillan reports, a woman who went to school with them says there were warning signs.
Brothers seemingly fixated on firearms. Isaac Ochterlony's now deleted Instagram account indicates he was anti-government and pro-gun. This post shows the burning of a federal notice on a firearms prohibition, a red flag, according to a violence prevention caseworker.
Yeah, I'd say that sounds pretty red flaggish to me.
When you start adding in these things like Canadian patriotism, voicing opinions surrounding anti-government rhetoric, and then moving into this sort of like bashing the prime minister, stuff like this. These things together often are sort of risk factors that we see when people are sort of into different various extremist movements.
Police identified Isaac and Matthew Ochterlony as the suspects killed in the bank shootout in Saanich that saw six police officers wounded. Neither brother had a criminal record.
There are still many questions and investigation efforts that need to take place in order to fully understand what took place and why.
A National Defense spokesperson confirms Matthew applied for the Army. He was rejected after failing an aptitude test. The 22-year-old men were from Duncan.
It always shocks you, and it is terrible.
An anonymous source says she went to Francis Kelsey Secondary School with the brothers. She says she's in disbelief, and her heart aches for the family and other families affected. She says they were quiet boys, but always nice. There were signs looking back, but nothing like this was ever expected. RCMP say their family is cooperating with the attempted murder investigation.
I just feel that there's more to the story. These two young men, we don't know what's gone on in their past. It's just devastating for their family, and I'm just very sad for the whole thing.
Investigators are asking anyone with information about the brothers to contact RCMP. Anna McMillan, CTV News, Saanich.
And we've invited Corporal Alex Berube from BC RCMP as well as Vancouver Island Major Crime Unit, VIMQ, the organization that has taken over conduct of the investigation into this matter. Again, multiple investigations will be unfolding over what will likely be the next number of weeks, if not months, due to the complexity of this situation. Again, the investigation takes as long as it takes. The more complex it is, the longer it takes. We don't know exactly what even happened in broad strokes yet, so it's difficult to predict these sorts of things. It's now been 1 week, though, and we are learning more information about, again, the two Ochterlony brothers themselves who were found dead at that scene, 22-year-old twins, one of whom had an Instagram account that is providing insight into what could be contributing factors to his mindset. But then again, that's not dispositive. That could only be part of the puzzle. In fact, it must only be part of the puzzle because there's nothing in that Instagram account that I have found even though it looks like this may have been an attempt to emulate elements of the 1997 North Hollywood shootout. And there's a lot of eerie coincidences there. And we know that he was aware of that shootout because he posted about it last year, February 28th, 2021, when he marked the 24-year anniversary of it, or 24 years ago that day the North Hollywood shootout had occurred. So we know that it's not a coincidence and he's never heard of it. We know he was aware of it. And we know that some elements of this crime appear to have mimicked parts of the North Hollywood shootout. That doesn't explain why that bank, though. That doesn't explain why that location, though. That doesn't explain any number of other important factors that we need to know in order to properly understand why this happened to our community. Why did two young men who, as far as we know, didn't even live here, they lived in Duncan, why did they come here to our community and hurt us like this? Why did they come here to our community and stage this action inside this bank, terrifying hostages? Why did they come here to our community and do this to members of the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team? We don't know that. If you saw their vehicle, again, white sedan, black racing stripes, anywhere in the Victoria area prior to the incident 1 week ago today on Tuesday, police would love to hear from you. It is unclear at this time when they came down here. It's unclear at this time how often they may have been down here beforehand. It's unclear at this time where they were. Like, it's, there's so many things still up in the air that don't make sense, even with the benefit of the context of the social media footprint that we have been able to find. I don't want to lose sight of the officers, though. Those six officers, as the van drives in, we all saw that video. We all heard the gunfire. We all saw the chaos that unfolded afterwards. Three of them still in hospital as of this weekend. And the outpouring we have seen from this community, absolutely extraordinary.
An online fundraiser to benefit the police officers who were injured during the shootout has surpassed its goal in just 3 days. The GoFundMe page, supported by Saanich and Victoria Police Unions, had a goal of $100,000. It has already topped $150,000 with nearly 850 donors. The Victoria Police Department says the six injured officers face a long road ahead. Officials from both departments have thanked the public for their support. At Victoria's Canada Day event on Friday, thousands of people put on blue GVert stickers in a show of support.
Of course, everybody's been hearing things about specific injuries and whatnot. Nothing has been officially confirmed as of this time. It's not my place to spell out what may or may not have happened to those officers, but we are expecting an update with information to be provided to the public later on, actually, in the show today. It's supposed to happen at 11 o'clock, so we're going to be rearranging our programming so that we can all hear that live update regarding information we're told of those six Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team officers, three members of the Saanich Police Department, three members of Vic PD involved in that incident. Now, we're told that it's not even in terms of the number from each department that are in the hospital at this time. Not that it should overly matter. It's both of them were working in tandem, those two departments, as members of the emergency response team in this incident, while it did, in fact, happen in Saanich. But they're hurt really bad. And we know that simply because they're still in the hospital this long afterwards. We know that they're hurt really bad because we heard the gunfire. We've seen the pictures on Instagram of the kind of rifles that may have been there. And that, of course, raises another question. In fact, I was talking with somebody earlier today about at what point we could be confident that certain elements of this horrific incident were simply copied from 1997. In fact, I was telling somebody earlier today, as I've been researching the 1997 North Hollywood shootout, February 28th, 1997, because one of the shooters, or actually both of the shooters there, I think, carried what are called Norinco Type 56 rifles. What is that? It's a Chinese AK-47 variant. Why is that significant? Well, Isaac Occhialone can be seen on Instagram wielding in multiple photographs and video, I believe, what looks like an SKS rifle. What's that? It's a modern AK-47 type variant as well. Was he trying to emulate the exact sort of assault rifle that was used in 1997, or is that a coincidence? It's tough to say. But the closer you look at 1997 and the closer you look at Saanich, the more similarities you tend to see. The giveaway was the homemade body armor on the legs that Shelley Fryer told us about right after all of this happened. That was what really got the gears turning for me, because that was one of the indicative hallmarks of the 1997 shooting, was these guys showed up with homemade body armor that was, if not completely resistant, then largely resistant to small arms and handgun fire. In fact, in 1997, I think one of the ways that the cops finally put the situation under control is they had to go to a gun store and buy AR-15s because their service pistols were not doing the job. That's what happened back in 1997 in North Hollywood at the Bank of America. In this situation, that was not required. Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team was on scene, and despite having half a dozen of its members gunned down in the process, they were able to secure the site and make the situation safe. It's going to be a lot of work, though, for them to get themselves back into fighting shape, so to speak, following all of this. So I want to focus on them. I want to make this about them. I don't want to make this about the dead alleged shooters, even though we do have an interest in understanding them, because we deserve to know why this happened to our home. Quick break. We're back right after this.
Keeping you informed, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
So again, we're speaking with Corporal Alex Berube, VIMQ, right after the 10 o'clock news, getting the latest on the investigation. Then after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to join live coverage of a press conference where we are expected to receive more information on the six officers who were injured 1 week ago today, members of the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team. We understand that three of them were hurt significantly more than the other three. Three released from hospital as of the weekend, whereas we heard from Del Manic yesterday that three still remained in hospital as of that time. Their exact status at this time is unknown, but again, depending on what kind of weapons were used. And I was talking about this online yesterday because we're trying to better understand this. And if you look at the Instagram page for Isaac Ochterlony, there's a rifle there that looks like an SKS. Now, an SKS, again, a newer variant. If you looked at it, you might think it was similar to an AK-47. Of course, the firearms enthusiasts out there would know better than I would that there are key differences. The point, though, is that's normally chambered for 7.62 rounds. And the kinetic energy of a bullet of that nature is high enough, depending on what type it was, it would go right through the metal of that van. It would go through the firewall. It would go, like, the officers in that van, as they were responding, would have been in significant danger. And indeed, it looks like they were in significant danger at that point because of the nature of the firepower that they were about to engage, which helps us understand how quickly so many officers could have been shot and seriously wounded. Sandwich businesses, of course, have to carry on amidst all of this, as do all of us have to carry on during all of this. The peace of that community ripped asunder 1 week ago today. How do we just sort of pick up everything and keep going as if nothing happened? I don't think we can. But on the other hand, we also can't just stop. We're at a very fragile time in terms of an attempted economic recovery for many of these businesses and many folks' lives in this area. CTV had coverage of that last night.
All of the businesses affected by last week's bank shooting in Saanich have reopened to the public. Police released the crime scene at and around the Bank of Montreal on Shelbourne Street on Saturday. Many businesses in the area reopened on Thursday after the Tuesday incident forced the closure of several blocks while investigations took place.
It's not 100% back to normal because there are many clients waiting for their work. So we have a lot of the laundry in the pending. So I think it may take 2 or 3 days more to get it back.
The emotional trauma is still being felt. He says some employees found the Canada Day fireworks triggering, but says being busy upon reopen is helping take their minds off what happened.
And as I just said, firearms enthusiasts out there who know about the intricate details of these things to a greater degree than I do are reminding me that the SKS is not technically an AK-47 variant. It's the look I'm talking about. These guys are on Instagram. They're the Instagram generation. Were they aiming to replicate the look of the North Hollywood shooters? Because you can't buy an AK in Canada, can you? Like, I don't think you can. As far as I know, you cannot get a Kalashnikov legally in Canada as a civilian. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody can help me out with that. But I'm pretty sure an AK-47 is a prohibited firearm in Canada. Is it not? Maybe I'm mistaken, but I didn't think that you could buy one in Canada and operate it. I'm talking about whether or not they were trying to look like the North Hollywood shooters. Is that part of the motive here? And again, we don't know what the answer to these questions are. These are one of the many questions that we have. But if you look at an SKS and you look at an AK-47 side by side, if you're one of these guys and if you were trying to emulate the look of that, it's pretty close. It's close enough to make me go, I wonder if there is a link there. even though you could argue that an SKS is not technically a variant of an AK because it's select fire and all these other intricate details. I understand that. I'm talking about the broader issues here, so I want to make that clear. James lets me know, hey, Adam, the SKS actually predates the AK-47. It says the reason the AK replaced it was the SKS is not select fire and is only semi-auto, says James. That's what it is. Sorry, I got that backwards. But again, these are the sorts of things that we don't know right now. These are the sorts of questions about motive. Like, why would anybody do this to us? Why would anybody hang around at the bank, have an opportunity to take the money and run? And yet witnesses said they didn't run. They were waiting for something. There is a significant possibility that this was a trap for police officers, that it wasn't about the money at all. There is a significant possibility that they were aiming, if you'll pardon the use of that particular word, and I didn't mean it to be a pun, that they were intending to get the sort of horrific, notorious publicity that we saw after the 1997 incident in the North Hollywood Bank of America shooting involving the high incident bandits, is what they called them. Al Farabee had a chance to talk with a Saanich area business owner a short time ago about how they're processing all of this. I want to listen to that.
From your employees, customers, and even you as being an owner in the area.
Yeah, from my employees' perspective, from what I've talked to them about, everyone's okay. They heard what was going on. They couldn't really clearly see what was happening. So from that perspective, they said they're okay. You know, they haven't taken any time off besides what was, you know, pretty much told to us to take off. As an owner, the challenge is really just telling people that, you know, what happened wasn't normal. You know, you tell your customers that, you know, everything's kind of back to normal now, but it's still a bit traumatic for what happened. And, you know, for us, it's really recognizing what the police did in the response to the incident, and, you know, that we're thinking about them, and that the cops that are injured, we hope that they have a full recovery for sure.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, these are people that could come into your store, and they could have been in the bank across the street. And I mean, we should address that a little bit. Those that were in the bank at the time and just like what they went through as well.
Yeah, that was pretty traumatic, I bet. I did receive a lot of emails though from customers. That was kind of the nice thing. You know, a lot of them were sympathetic to what was happening, and they were aware that, you know, we were shut down and that the whole mall was shut down, and that, you know, they'd eventually come back. They just weren't sure when that would be.
Yeah. Thomas Dudley's joining us. He's the owner of Wild Birds Unlimited, located in the Shelburne Plaza. Let's update, too, and we'll let, you know, police and investigators talk a little bit later on about, you know, some of the updated information as to what's happening. But for those that are either in business in and around the area, Shelburne Plaza and beyond, and for those that are customers, it is business as normal and has been for the last little bit, correct?
Correct, yeah. Since I'd say, well, they let us back in Thursday, but no one was around. And Friday was Canada Day. So we didn't open until Saturday, and most of the other businesses didn't open until Saturday as well.
Yeah. What's that been like since you reopened?
You know what? The feedback's been really good. A lot of people have come in, I'd say more than normal, and a lot of people just want to talk, to be honest. Like, they come in, and they just want to get our perspective on it, what happened. And, you know, we have a cat at the store, and people are like, you know, we have one customer who comes in, and he's like very... really passionate about the cat. And so, you know, you get people who are just concerned about, you know, the welfare of our animal at the store. And then just that, that everything is back to normal, to be honest. And, you know, they just want to talk about it.
Yeah. That's interesting. They want to talk, just like a radio announcer talking to you right now, asking a bunch of questions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of that. And people will stay longer than normal. And, you know, on Saturday, they had all the fencing up, and customers would come in and they saw the fencing come down, and they just kind of hang out and just wait till like the scene cleared up so they can go, you know, either check it out or just, you know, have some thoughts about what happened at the moment.
Yeah. We should remind people that you and other businesses, you are open for business, and encourage people to, because I mean, you small business owner, you and many others in Shelburne Plaza and around that area, correct?
It's true. Yeah, we're all open. Everyone's pretty much open and back to operation. No one got any real damage. I think the only place that got any, you know, collateral would be, I think, the laundromat at the corner. They had a bullet hole go through their glass.
Isn't that terrifying? Imagine if that had been a human being. It's a miracle that nobody else was killed in this incident. It really was.
But everyone besides that had no damage done to their building. So everyone just kind of opened up their doors again, and we welcome people back to the Shelbourne Plaza.
Yeah.
And we just look forward to seeing people again.
Yeah.
That's Saanich business owner Thomas Dudley. He owns Wild Birds Unlimited in Saanich Plaza, one of the many organizations that's moving on after this shocking event. Again, we're going to be talking with Corporal Alex Berube coming up on the show after 10 o'clock. More news coming up after this. Don't go anywhere.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, getting lots of texts at 1070-10. Morning, Adam. Would you let us know how long you are prepared to repeatedly cover this story? Not good for many trying to move on. Thanks. Texter, I don't know because I don't know what's going to happen yet. We still need to understand what happened here. And again, there's many questions that remain unanswered. And there's a live press conference that we're going to be joining today at 11 o'clock, where we're going to learn more about the six police officers who were injured here. We're learning more about the potential motives of the two gunmen who were found, or alleged gunmen, I guess it's fair to say. They never will have a trial. We're not ever going to get a conviction because they're dead. But we're not just going to avoid a news story that impacted our community this much because it impacts our community. That's a contradiction. In fact, the only way we're going to get through this is to be able to talk about it, to be able to understand it, and through that heal as a community, making sure that any folks who've been injured financially, psychologically, physically, of course, in the case of the six officers, are able to move on through this. I think that's our goal right now, obviously. So how long am I prepared to do my job? I will do my job until the earth crashes into the sun. I am relentless. You know that. How long will it take to do this job? I don't know yet. I don't think anybody does. So we're all in this together, and we have to see where this goes. And again, this is not about inflaming things or making things worse. This is about understanding. This is about casting light into dark corners that we may be afraid of. Because once you turn the lights on in a room that was otherwise dark, that you may have felt fear in, you realize that some of the things you were really afraid of, even if they are still a significant risk, they're not so scary anymore because you understand them. And that gives you a sense of control and a sense of purpose. And that in and of itself can be very therapeutic, Texter. So stick with us here. We're going to figure this out. Adam, a Texter writes, the news says the Instagram is now deleted. Was it deleted before the incident or afterwards? If after, who deleted it? Texter, the Instagram account was removed, and I'm not sure if it's been deleted or merely deactivated, and there is a distinction, sometime between Friday and Saturday last week. The incident, as we all know, happened Tuesday the 28th. The Instagram account would have still been live on Wednesday the 29th. I started going through it the evening of Thursday the 30th. I spent most of Canada Day, Friday the 1st, going through it. And when I went to check on it on Saturday after the RCMP held the press conference where they named the two guys, and I was sure that that was them because we didn't know for sure that that was them up until that point. I had suspicions of a few different folks that it may have been. Isaac Ochterlony was one of the individuals that I had identified as potentially being one of the shooters. And because of that, I was reviewing the social media account for him, as well as capturing any evidence that I thought was relevant and pertinent in the event that something happened to the account. It got deleted sometime between Friday and Saturday. I'm not sure exactly when. Because when I watched the press conference on Saturday morning and we were told that Isaac Ochterlony and Matthew Ochterlony were the two people who were found dead at the scene, I went back and I noticed that it had been taken offline. So it was sometime between Friday and Saturday. I don't know when, I don't know who, I don't know why. But that's around when it happened, if that answers your question. Texter at 1070-10 writes, every gun nut I know loves the SKS. All right. Apparently it's cheap. All right. And maybe it was simply an affordable option. And that's why Isaac Ochterlony appears to have possessed one. He's got pictures of what looks like an SKS on Instagram. And maybe that's the only reason that he used it. Again, we don't know for sure. But these seeming connections to the North Hollywood shootout require us to look at what was present in 1997. Look at what was present in Saanich last week and compare and contrast. And there were AK-47 type variant rifles used in 1997. The SKS, to an untrained eye, looks very similar to an AK, doesn't it? Like I know that those of you who are firearms enthusiasts, you see the difference. But I think most folks, if you held those two guns up side by side, most folks probably wouldn't be able to tell them apart very easily. Was that why it was chosen? Was this about the look of the incident? Were they trying to get on television like the 1997 shooters did? Is that why they, we don't know. But these are questions that have yet to be answered at this time that may help us better understand this incident. Texter at 107010 writes, the conviction is death, charged, convicted, sentence, thanks to our brave officers. Well, you can have that opinion, Texter. Ordinarily, when a crime like this happens, we take great care so as not to prejudice any legal proceedings or prejudice the right of the accused to a fair trial. In this case, the accused will never actually get a trial. So it's a different situation from what we're ordinarily used to dealing with in terms of the media. But we need to be able to understand this, because if we don't understand this, if there are no unique factors that we can identify, if there's nothing that we can do, all we do is we sit around and we wait for it to happen again. You know, I would have said that this could have never, ever happened if you had asked me about this a couple of weeks ago. It is impossible. A couple of young guys going to roll up with an arsenal and just start shooting for no good reason. They're going to go into the bank, and apparently they don't even want to leave with the money. It's a trap. Like, this sounds like something out of a movie. We can't just leave this with all these questions unanswered, because it'll gnaw at us. We'll wonder what happened. Could it happen again? How do we protect ourselves? You can't protect yourself from something you don't understand. The first step is understanding. And that's what all of us are doing right now as part of the healing process. Texter says, I appreciate you talking about this, as I've been curious. And as you say, I want to know and I want to feel safer. Thank you. Absolutely. That's what we're doing here. This is about casting a light into a dark corner that many of us are afraid to look into, to reassure ourselves that regardless of what is actually there, it cannot be as bad as the vacuum and the imagination that many of us have that fills in the blanks in situations like this when we don't know what happened. Although in this case, I'm afraid that what we're going to see is pretty ugly. So I do want to warn all of you and prepare all of you for that. Let's go to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're on the air. How you doing?
I got a couple of things to say. First of all, they're not actually twins. They're part of a set of triplets. There's a sister that's part of that triplet thing, too. So
yep.
They're all
yep.
fraternal. And there's another brother as well. But I really feel bad for the family that's left behind, because it's, you know, it puts them in the spotlight. Not only have they lost their part of their family, but they've lost them in a pretty horrendous way, being in the spotlight of the media and all this, and shooting cops and all that kind of stuff. So it's not really not a good thing for anybody, including the family as well. They're left behind, so I do feel bad for them, feel a little bit of sympathy for them. And the second thing is, I was reading a website yesterday, I think it was Vibrant Victoria. It's a local trashy website with forum boards on there. And somebody on that website went and posted a picture of a rear admiral and his family that just happened to have the same name, and suggested that the wife of this rear admiral is the mother of these kids. And it's just, it's pitiful.
Yeah, it's not true.
It's the most garbage website.
Well,
on Earth.
Well, hold on. Well, okay, but like, you know, let's...
But to do that, to post a like, with no evidence or anything, to post a picture of a family standing in dockyard or at the military base, family with the same name, and suggesting that, oh yeah, maybe the wife works at the Royal Bank and maybe this is the family and stuff like that too. It's pretty libelous. I think it's very, very irresponsible for anybody, whoever it was that posted that, to put that up there too. Like, you wouldn't want your family connected with anything like this either, right?
Works at the bank? What?
Well, it's a picture of a family. It's on Viber Victoria, and the forum board is called the Royal Bank Robbery.
All right. Well, I'll look into it, Wayne.
No,
I don't. Well, because if it's libelous and you repeat it, you're committing libel. So I don't, like, I just want to be careful that you know what you're doing. I know that you don't like Vibrant Victoria, and we both know why. But, like, in this particular incident, though, I don't want to put the family through any undue hardship. All right?
No, I'm just saying they already have been. But anyway, thanks for taking my call again, Adam. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day. Bye now. 250-386-1161, *1070, a free call on your wireless device. Let's go to Andre. Andre, you're on the air. How you doing?
Yeah. Good morning. Well, I can tell the difference between an SKS and a Kalashnikov.
Well, I bet you could, Andre, but I think a lot of folks out there couldn't. You know, you've got that curved magazine, you've got the profile, you've got the way that it's held. It's the sort of thing where if you wanted to emulate the look of what happened in 1997 and you couldn't get your hands on an AK, the SKS is pretty close to the Observer for a lot of people.
The thing is, the SKS, you cannot exchange the magazine.
No, I know. They're different guns. Yeah, I know.
Also, I saw the news this morning that until recently, these brothers worked at a company in Saanich. So they have grew up in Duncan, but moved, you know, like a lot of people move, you know, after they graduate high school. So it could explain why they're in here, but it still doesn't explain why that particular bank. And I guess maybe they just wanted notoriety rather than robbing a bank, because like other callers said, they had time to just flee the scene, but they seem to be waiting for something, like waiting for the cops, even though they knew they would be outmanned and outgunned.
It's possible, Andre. It's indeed, like, and there's many possibilities. And that's one of the reasons people are like, Adam, why are you still talking about this? Because there's still so many unanswered questions, and people need to know these things. Because if they don't, they're going to speculate. And when you speculate, you're going to discuss things with other people. And absent reliable, credible information being released to the public to at least set our minds at ease with some of these gnawing questions, it's going to preoccupy many of us, in my view, needlessly. Texter writes, Adam, you're talking about the guns. Do we know what they actually had? We're expecting more information to be released about that maybe today. Or maybe sometime very soon. But no, we have not had it officially confirmed yet at this time. We've all heard them because we heard the video, the viral video, where the hail of gunfire erupted. We've seen pictures of rifles that the two of them had on Instagram, but we do not know which of those rifles, if any, were actually used in this particular shooting. All right, let's see. Texter at 107010 writes, maybe touch on it when you have something new. Might be there is no depth to motive. Why pick police is weird by the young man. Could they simply be idiots? No, I don't believe that's what this is at all, Texter. I do not believe that that is even remotely what this is about. But, you know, I suppose it's a very, very, very slim possibility. Texter at 107010 writes, hey, Adam. I get it that all the info must be confirmed. Please continue to report on this. So hopefully the dolts on council will see how underfunded all the protective services are. Peter, I'm really glad that there were appropriate medical supplies in that vehicle from the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team. I shudder to think about what may have happened if we had a situation where they either didn't have that med kit or they were short somehow, or it became a point of contention. Appropriate supplies, especially for a medic, especially for something like that, the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team, absolutely crucial, absolutely key, because you never know when you will need them in a life or death situation. So thankfully, that was there. Unclear at this time exactly why it was that white van that showed up instead of the armored rescue vehicle. Our understanding is that there was a call nearby. I've heard it described as a domestic. I've heard some people suggest it was a training mission. I'm not sure exactly what it was. We just know that there was a call that was nearby that had Gvert get diverted from in order to attend this location. But it looked, the more time that goes by, the more it looks like these guys wanted to kill cops. These guys wanted to shoot cops. These guys wanted to shoot Justin Trudeau's cops, potentially. That could have been what's going through their minds. And I understand that that might be awkward for you, because some of you may also have very strong views about the Prime Minister. Some of you may also have very strong views about firearms regulations. Again, you can have any view you want. This is about violence. This is about taking that step from thought and belief to pulling the trigger and shooting a cop. And there is a wide chasm there that all good law-abiding people should feel comfortable being on the good side of, to be very clear, without having to worry about discussing what could have been in the minds of these deranged, what it would seem, would-be killers. And they didn't kill anybody, thank God. It was close, though. I think it's closer than most people realize. And we might learn more about that later on today. Again, press conference coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. I will learn, as you learn, any new information, then we'll discuss it. All right, want to take a quick break, 250-386-1161, star 1070, back right after this.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Hi, Adam. A texter writes, have you considered that they were waiting for something to be delivered to the bank? It's curious why they chose that bank. It's out of the way if they're coming all the way from Duncan. Texter, there's any number of possibilities here. I think that what we as a community need is factual information that can be released at this time in order to reassure ourselves, because we're going to be preoccupied with this. It's going to gnaw at us. We're going to ask questions. We're going to second guess ourselves. And that's not a productive use of our time, but we can't help it either. We need to reassure people with factual information that we can tell them at this time. Now, I understand that there are certain things that are up in the air. So obviously, the investigators, they're not going to speculate. The authorities, they're not going to speculate. They know that we're going to speculate because that's what human beings do. They have a duty to keep things strictly limited to the facts. We, of course, have a duty, moral duty, I should say, to keep our discussions and our theorizing based in fact. But we're human beings. We're going to wonder. We're going to try to put patterns together. We're going to try to solve puzzles. That's what human beings have done as long as we've been human beings. We simply can't help it. So given that, we're going to do so responsibly. I want to go to Vince. Hey, Vince, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm sure to call in twice in a week, but one thing I forgot to mention yesterday was that mural in Bastion Square. Again, that's come up a couple times, but, you know, that's one more item that we're not supporting our police when we allow city-funded things like that to be put in. Yes, it's artistic, but those four letters cause all kinds of grief for all kinds of people. So, again, as this is a good incident to show that type of situation, please support the police. But sorry to call in again.
That's fine.
Yeah, that mural thing. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day, Vince. 250-386-1161. Dave's up next. Hey, Dave, welcome to Open Lines. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
As good as can be expected, given the circumstances.
Well, there's certainly a lot of gaslighting and speculation going on.
Gaslighting is when you lie to somebody, convince them that they're crazy because they have a reasonable suspicion. Who's gaslighting?
There's a lot of it in the media making a lot of claims about what's going on.
So who's lying? Because gaslighting is lying. Who's lying? What's the lie?
Lying.
Yeah.
It's speculation is, I suppose, more than gaslighting.
But no, it's less than gaslighting, but speculation and gaslighting are two different things.
But at the end of the day, you know,
at the end of the day, what? You just said there was gaslighting, now there isn't?
At the end of the day, speculating on things that...
Is what human beings do, Dave. Would you like to speculate today?
No, I'm not speculating. Okay. I'm basing what I've seen based off fact. And
no, you're not. You just said there was gaslighting. Now there's not gaslighting. That's not factual. You can speculate if you like. I do it. See, I think you're going to accuse me of gaslighting here is where I'm going.
You're coming off as incredibly defensive before I've even had a chance to
make it's because I think you're going to accuse me of something, Dave. You sound like that type.
That's pretty speculative in of itself.
Is it?
What my point is mm-hmm. that when we were talking about firearms and saying this is the type or that's the type, it's really irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. How is it irrelevant?
I'd like to know how it is relevant.
If I shoot a van with emergency response team members inside of it with a handgun, and then I take the same distance, the same van, the same members, and I shoot it with an AK or an SKS, there's going to be a difference, right?
Based on what? I mean, you're firing a firearm at people. It doesn't really matter what it is.
I think it actually does matter, Dave, is where I'm going with this.
But why?
Because
the point is firearm crime, and it's a firearm that's been used. The only real difference...
Do you imagine all guns fire the same bullets?
Well, of course they don't.
Okay. So what's different about one gun and one type of bullet versus another?
Oh, there's quite a bit in terms of ballistics and things like that.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about here is that these people have committed a crime. They've attempted to rob a bank or they've attempted to get into a shootout.
I'm still wondering what you meant by gaslighting, because that's pretty accusatory.
Well, this is a blatant, to me, this is a blatant attack on firearms ownership. And it's been quite clear from what the media has portrayed.
Dave, that's what I thought you were going to say. And you actually made me second guess myself for a minute, but I don't think that's what this is.
And I'm not too sure. I mean, there's certainly the public safety side of this where certainly there is some concern over people who, you know, especially if you have copycats,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is kind of what you and others have alluded to when talking about the LA shooting in comparison to this.
Mm-hmm.
They were really quite different, and I can see how people can draw some parallels.
Do you think it's a coincidence that Isaac Octerlony posted the 1997 North Hollywood shooting on Instagram and then did this? You think it's just coincidental?
I don't necessarily think it's coincidence there, you know, to that degree, but there may have been some admiration for these people for at whatever level. I'm not too sure. I don't necessarily think it was the catalyst for them to turn around and say, I would like to go do this for notoriety or fame. But again, at the end of the day, it's very speculative to, you know, come out and make any of those assumptions at this point. And
well, isn't it speculative to allege a conspiracy to go after firearms, Dave? Like, the biggest speculator here is you.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. Dave, you're over the moon. You're on the far side of the moon in terms of speculation. But again, we're allowed to speculate. We're human beings. I don't agree with your speculation, but it is speculation.
And I'm not necessarily saying that this was solely perpetrated, but it's certainly opportunistic in the sense that, well, here's firearms crime. We're going to go after firearms. From what I've seen of those kids' Instagram's accounts and some of the videos that have been posted is that everything that they had done within those videos was actually legal. You know, they're out in the forest, they're shooting guns.
40-round magazine, is that legal in Canada?
A 40-round magazine is not, but a 40-round magazine pinned to five is.
That's now, not what it says, though. It says 40-round mag.
Yeah, and I mean, 30-round magazines are 30-round magazines pinned to five. Now, in those videos, did you see them shoot consecutively more than five rounds?
I'm trying to recall.
I have to double check. And that's a question. I'm not trying to, you know, that's a question. Because I personally, in the videos that I've seen, have not seen them do that. So
here's the thing, Dave. I don't want to censor a conversation on one of the most serious crimes Victoria's ever seen because some people are afraid of firearms restrictions. Like, I don't want political influence to get into this. I want us to be able to look at this crime without being afraid of it. Surely you agree, right?
Oh, I agree 100%. Okay. I mean, as a firearms owner, I also want to know what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What went wrong here? Because this paints a lot of people in a lot of bad ways.
I don't think so. I don't think that, like these guys were nuts. These guys were weirdos. Totally. Like, these guys were absolutely unhinged. Like, they look like psychos on their Instagram. You're not like that. I don't think most law-abiding gun owners are like that.
No, and I guess part of my concern, you know, especially when people, you know, are repeatedly, you know, like you've said, and this is an accusatory towards you, but you're saying AK-47. The SK, and I know that you said this before, is that, you know, in terms of people in firearms knowledge, some people are higher on one side and lower on the other, right? So some people know more about them than others. So, you know, as the AK goes, the AK has never been legal in Canada, and there have been sub-variants with similarities.
Mm-hmm.
The SKS functionally is very, very different.
But again, we had a couple of psychos try to kill police officers. Can you condemn them?
Absolutely.
Trying to shoot another person
is not really acceptable, with maybe the exception of somebody shooting at you and you're shooting back in self-defense.
What if the cops shoot at you?
That's a different story.
Anyway, this is a fascinating conversation, Dave. I thought you were going to call me a gaslighter, which is where we were a little bit rough off the top of the conversation. I'm not trying to gaslight anybody. I don't think you are either. I think that we both have speculation and we both need questions answered, all right?
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered here.
Right.
And you know, unfortunately, too much speculation can lead to fear within people. And making people fearful isn't necessarily going to be a productive way of continuing a conversation.
I don't want to continue a conversation with gun nuts who are going to kill people, Dave. I don't care if I offend them. Sorry.
No. And I'm not talking about having a conversation with gun nuts that want to kill people. I'm talking about conversations with people within the community at various levels of understanding of how firearms work.
Okay.
You know, different things to understand that, you know, as we look at firearms, it's not firearms that are necessarily the problem.
Yeah, it's the bullets. Yeah, when they hit somebody. I have to run. RCMP Corporal... who's up next? It's going to be RCMP Corporal Alex Berube. Don't go anywhere.